Welcome to The Millionaire's Lawyer, where you'll hear leading professionals share expert advice on how to grow your business and sell it for maximum profitability. If you want to learn lawyer-proven strategies for building and exiting your business, then this is the podcast for you. Your host, J.P. McAvoy, is a business lawyer, college professor, and best-selling author who has been assisting clients start, grow, and sell their businesses for millions of dollars for over 15 years. Will yours be the next? Now here's your host, J.P. McAvoy.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing great. So good to see you, JP. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you on the show. How's my sound? Is my sound okay?
You sound fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
How's my sound? Is it okay?
Your sound is wonderful as well. We're doing video today as well. You look fantastic on video for anybody that is listening. I can assure you that Debbie looks fantastic today on video as well.
I'm a little sunburned, but I'm hanging in here.
Not a bad problem to have, right? We saw each other just recently in San Diego. That's a good place to lead in from the New Media Summit, where you've been an icon no less than four times. And were you there the first time, or is it because you've only been there four times?
I didn't know about it the first time, but I've been there for everyone ever since I found out about it. So yeah, it's been four times that I've been featured. It's been a real honor.
And it's been great to have you there. I've learned so much. I've also learned from you to do a proper intro. I saw you do this recently for a friend of ours as well. So I'll do the same thing for you again, because you also provided this to me, and you did it in such a wonderful way. Again, it's because I think you drink your own medicine, or you take your own medicine, right? You do things in a very spiritual way, and you help everybody else along in their way as well. Here we go. Debbie Adia is a soulful speaker, coach, podcaster, and conscious business strategist. As the host of the top-ranked spiritual entrepreneur podcast and creator of the popular podcast on purpose online academy, Debbie moves entrepreneurs and leaders to embrace their soul's purpose and to share their message with the world so they can experience elevated freedom, fulfillment, and results in work and life. How does that sound?
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much for formally introducing me.
You probably don't get that all the time. And I know you can speak to all these things as well. I wanted to turn to actually, and I love how you even, in your media sheet provided me the long intro, the short intro. You end the short intro by saying that Debbie, paraphrase, helps embrace their soul, people embrace their soul's purpose and to share their message and mission with the world through their own media platform and or soul-driven lifestyle business, right? Mm-hmm. That really speaks to me. We just spent a couple of minutes talking about my own setup here, and you gave me some great tips and advice. Tell me how you work with people, as you described, sharing their message and their mission with the world through their own media platform. How do you do that?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a great question. So here's the thing. For a long time, I didn't share my message. Like, I started in corporate and I did a lot of things, what I thought I should do, and tucked away a big part of my own soul's purpose, which was really more so helping people to express and experience a voice of their own soul, their message, their mission in the world. Right. It took me a long journey, but I started to come to a place where I started to help people create their own podcast platform, which is where I started to express my soul's voice and share more of my spiritual side with the world in addition to my entrepreneurial side. And so I wanted other people to have that experience. So I created a Podcast on Purpose Online Academy. I take people from idea to, I used to say idea to iTunes. They've now since changed the name, which makes it difficult in 6 weeks or less. And then I also do like a VIP weekend with them where I help them to do that. In a weekend. And we basically set up a whole podcast platform for them where they can come and share their message, their mission, really about people podcasting specifically on purpose, not just for profit. I think profit's important, but on purpose. And then I also help people if they have a message or mission and they want to turn it into either a speaking business or an online training business, or if they're even wanting just to turn that message into a movement in the world, I help them to create the business around that using not only tactical and strategic principles that are more business focused, but also focusing too on the consciousness-based part of the business and the things that are the mindset pieces, which is one of the reasons why I started the Spiritual Entrepreneur to begin with, because I felt like a lot of people were sharing the tactics and the strategies, but they weren't sharing that, like what I would say 99% of what actually creates success, which is the consciousness behind what you're creating, the mindset that you bring to it. Like those pieces were being left out, and you'd see people do these strategies and tactics and they'd be like, I don't understand why it's not working for me. I don't get it. And I'm like, well, because you're missing
the most important
a
piece,
big part. Right? Yeah. And so that's another piece of what I like to bring to the work that I do.
Oh, that's great. So it's interesting, even as you say that. So like tactics, as you say, I mean, people, you know, and can get advice on how to get the word out, but if they don't have the word focused and directed and thought through in a way, it's not going to resonate with anybody, is it?
No, yeah. And people nowadays, we can feel things that we didn't used to be able to feel. Our senses, our spidey sense, if you will, for entrepreneurism, we're aware of what's going on with someone way more than we may even realize. And so if someone isn't in alignment with what they're doing, or they're trying something that's really not based in something that they believe, but they feel they need to do or should do, we can pick it up right away, and it's not going to resonate. It needs to come from that soul's voice. It needs to come from their unique gift and be in alignment with what they're about. So it's really important to align those things and do it more holistically.
Yeah. And, yeah. And why are we just more aware now? Like, as you say, because you do, I mean, people listening, listening to this podcast, certainly people listening to your podcast can hear it. Is it because you're so well aligned, or is it because people are better at listening now?
I think that I work on being more aligned. I'll say that. Like, I definitely spend a lot of time being like, what is true for me, and going from that place. But I think in general, just as an overall culture, I know when I was growing up, I grew up in a family that was, you know, very, we had a lot of gifts in my family. We'll just say that, for intuition and other things. And so I grew up with that awareness, and I noticed that it wasn't commonplace to talk about. It was something that was what I had tucked away for a long time. I feel like now people are aware, okay, we have senses that are more than what we receive, you know, hearing, even feeling, but there's this other sense that we have where we're starting to be able to witness things, and they're subtle. They're little subtle things, and it's like a knowing. You'll meet someone and you'll say, gosh, what they're saying is so great, but it doesn't quite feel right, or there's something that's off, right? Mm-hmm. And I just feel like collectively we're becoming more awake and aware to more of who we are, than just our, you know, basic senses. And so I think that there is a collective awakening in humanity. It's like the 100th monkey, right? When the 100th monkey gets a skill set, it's shared all across all the monkeys everywhere, right? I think that's true for us as humans. When we start to develop these senses at a certain point, there's like a tipping point, and we start to have an awareness, even though we don't really know where it came from. All of a sudden, we have this other awareness that we're experiencing things, and we don't even know where it's from, but we know it's real for us. And we check it in conversation. Like, people will be like, you know, I'm noticing that this doesn't quite feel right anymore. Is that true for you? And you'll find that it starts to show up in your conversation around you as well. So.
Yeah, it becomes, right? In itself, there's energy that's going into that. And then if you want to focus that, you're going to have misaligned energy. Speaking of misaligned energy, you referenced that you came from corporate.
Yes.
and I obviously, part of your learnings have come from that environment. This is the Millionaire's Lawyer. We've got a lot of business listeners, a lot of business owners that tune in. Without besmirching too much corporate, can you talk about your experiences and how maybe what you learned from there is what's translated into what you're doing now?
Yeah. So there's kind of like a further backstory in terms of like growing up and having those gifts and other things that I tucked away. But in corporate specifically, when I was growing up, I started focusing on what I thought I should focus on rather than on some of the more spiritual parts of myself, because I didn't think they would be accepted. And so I went to Carnegie Mellon. I got a dual degree in information systems and management. And right out of school, I went to work for Oracle, which was at the time the second largest software company out there. And I did what I thought I should do. You know, I went in and I was making really good money, and I was meeting some of the best and brightest, like super smart people. They had, you know, at that time, industry leading software. I haven't been connected with them in a long time, so I don't know what the current status is, but I imagine they're still doing very well. They were back then. And one of the things that I found was, one New Year's Eve, I sat down and I wrote out what I call my short list, or what would be a bucket list today, but the movie wasn't out yet. Not that I'm dating myself at how old that I am. but I sat down and I wrote out this list of things I wanted to do before I passed on. And I found a list from 2 years prior, and I was looking at the list and I was like, wow, in 2 years of my life, I've done nothing of the things that I say are most important.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, I have to fix this. And so I scheduled one a month and I got scuba certified. I became a licensed skydiver. I traveled Europe. I ran a marathon. It was a crazy year. And at the end of the year, I was looking at my list and I'm like, wow, my list is almost checked off. And now what? Because I thought at some level, I was going to feel more fulfilled. Like there was something that was going to be cheese at the end of the tunnel for me. And I thought, okay, so it is clearly not about just making money, because I was making great money and I was around people who are making great money. And there wasn't necessarily joy specifically coming from that for any of us. And I thought, well, it's not necessarily about experiences, because my experiences were not really fulfilling me in any more than I thought it was, although they were growing my comfort zone. I thought, well, what is it about? Because I thought at some level I would feel more fulfilled than I didn't. I was making all that money to someday be able to do those things. And so I thought, well, maybe it's about contribution. So I ended up being invited at a workshop I went to. One of the guys that was there was like, we're starting a coaching division. If you feel like you'd like to make a difference in the lives of people, come work with us. So I ended up leaving corporate and going and working for one of the leading people in the coaching industry at that time. And it was great. Like I loved making a difference for people, but I still felt like something was really missing for me, that there was like my message, something that was pushing on my heart and soul was not there. And so I didn't stay very long. I stayed there less than a year and I went out and I started my own coaching thing. And I was trying to figure out who I was or what was going to bring that it. Like what was the it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went on a long journey trying to discover what it was. And what I didn't realize, I was flying on a flight from San Diego to DC and back again, because that's where I'm from. And I listened to a podcast on podcasting and I was like, oh, I really want to start a podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something that that'll do it for me, right? And so I came back and I was talking to a friend and she's like, well, you know, I want to do a podcast too. So we said, we'll give ourselves 2 months. And then I said, well, what is it going to be on? I don't know what I want it to be about. And she said, well, you know, you've had that domain, spiritualentrepreneur.com since 99. Maybe you should use it.
Is there a message there somehow?
And what I had not realized was that I had tucked away this side of myself when I was a child, because I grew up in I like to call it like a clair family. Like my grandma was, you know, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, like that's what I would call it. My dad was president of a bank and he was also, you know, a yogi. My grandpa was FBI. My grandma was like a mystic homemaker. So I had these like different worlds that didn't really meet. And I remember talking to a kid at school and him being like, what, you freak? Like, you know, because it wasn't accepted then. And so I had tucked that part of myself away and I was terrified to share that voice of my soul, that part of me on, you know, a podcast, much less anywhere. And so we ended up, I had wanted to bring awareness to the consciousness piece. So I'm like, all right, we'll go for it. And what I found was when I started to launch my podcast, I waited till the last day to do my intro episode because I didn't want to talk about myself. I didn't want to share this part of me in any way. I was terrified. And if you're terrified, you have a message that's speaking to you right now, you're probably onto something.
Oh, that's great.
But it's part of your message. And so when I launched, nothing bad happened to me. If anything, this nagging part of me that was feeling unfulfilled, that part of me that was wanting to express, started to find relief. And I started to experience true fulfillment. And I started to realize, like, for me, in my world, it is about taking that voice of our soul, that part of us that's our truest nature, that we're really here to share, even if it terrifies us, and to bring that out in service to humanity. And that's where the true fulfillment lies. And since then, my life has been very different. And I'm not waiting for someday for me to do these things to someday feel fulfillment. I get to experience the fulfillment in the moment with that expression of my soul's voice. And that's where I feel like, that's why I've recognized that's part of what my gift is to help other people do that. And a podcast is a great place to play for that if you're wanting to start out. And it's also a great place to have a business. Because there are people that are waiting for you and your unique expression. And it's so fulfilling to share.
That's amazing. There's about eight things you just said there, eight different directions I'd love to go with this.
Really, let's go.
Really, yeah. I'm thinking of our audience as I take us down this first direction, because for what you just said there, if it resonated with anybody, if anybody said, well, yeah, that's me, or I'm in this role now, And again, we're thinking of a business owner, perhaps even, so they can't exit themselves from the business. But how would you work with somebody that maybe is in a traditional business, maybe a bank or a financial type business, or something that's can be manufacturing, something can be quite repetitive, where they're saying, yes, I'm trying to reconcile this feeling, but by the same token, run a business that is perhaps employing other people as well, and assisting maybe a local economy. How would you coach or work with somebody like that to, bring things more into alignment anyways?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And usually for me, what ends up happening, there's some part of who I am as a person or as a coach too, or, it's just something that happens around me, where when I work with people, I tend to inspire whatever that leadership is of their soul's voice. It starts to come out. At times in the past, I've not worked with certain corporations because literally they want to leave, the person that's being, it's like they're ready, and they're stepping into their, what they're meant to do. And, I actually have had to reconcile that by asking a friend, how do I do this? And they're like, well, make sure they replace themselves with at least two people of the same or better, because it's better for the company in the long run, right? For that to happen. I find it's really getting in touch with what that is for you. There's that voice of your soul. And it may be that that's something that you can express in alignment with what it is that you're doing. There may be just a little shift in perspective that can help you to take your gift and bring it to what you're doing. But it may be that even if you are the business owner and you're like, wow, this isn't really in alignment with me. I started this because it was something that people were asking me for and it was profitable. Find someone whose voice of their soul it is to do that work and bring them in, train them up, and then step into what it is that you're meant to be doing. Because I really do believe when we come into this world with that voice, that it's something that we're meant to share. And you'll know it because you'll feel that pressing inside. You'll feel that lack of fulfillment. You'll feel, I call it divine discontent, but you'll feel that part of you that's saying, okay, there's something else that's here for me. And we can quiet that, we can ignore it, we can go unconscious, we can do whatever we need to do to medicate that. But at the end of the day, that's what you're here to express, I believe. And so I feel like if that's something that you're feeling, that divine discontent, the thing you want to do rather than kind of circuit breaking or adjusting yourself to fit whatever you've already created, start to really bring more awareness to it, bring more consciousness to it, start to give it the attention it needs and listen. Because a lot of times when we don't, we end up either sick, we end up having big things happen that we didn't want to have happen because we didn't hear the little signs. And there's ways to adjust so that it's a win-win-win for everyone, right? You start to bring people together that can support in places where maybe you're not meant to be anymore, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Or if you're there, you can adjust yourself too.
No, that's well said. That's well said. And so a lot of it, I'm imagine is thinking that through, right? So what are the steps to getting to that place where there is that purpose, right? So you did this. The podcast has obviously gone extremely well.
Yeah.
And you continue to spend a lot of time in that world. You show others how to do the same thing if they so choose, right? That's one of the aspects of your own business. You want to talk or tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
About which part? Because those are two different things.
Okay. So the media platform. So assisting them launch their own media platform. Yeah.
So we are so supported right now, especially if you have a message or a mission that you're wanting to put out in a big way, like globally. It's so easy. Podcasting is one of my favorite ways right now. The industry, ad revenue has grown over 1,000% in the last, 5 years. Spotify purchased Gimlet and Anchor, which is kind of like the high end and the low end of the industry, for over $340 million. And they put another earmarked $500 million more for acquisitions in that space. The industry is growing. So if you're looking for a platform that is growing, podcasting is fantastic. And even on Zoom, which is how we're recording right now, you can use Zoom as a platform to help you to start to get your message out in a bigger way. So with a podcast, literally you could do an interview style podcast. You could do a co-hosted show where you have another person come on where you share the message together, or you could just do direct audio where you're sharing directly with your listeners. But it's a great way to start to get your message out in a bigger way. And you can do this through Zoom. You can actually even get the video set up and recorded, as well as You can have separate tracks recorded if you configure your system mm-hmm. appropriately to be able to have great audio for a podcast as well. And you can then put it on any platform you choose. And it's really not that difficult now to reach people in all over the world. Like, I'm in countries I've never been to. Mm-hmm. I've been ranked like in the top two in countries I hadn't even heard of. Like,
it's amazing to think, isn't it? Yeah.
And you never know who you're touching. Like, the woman who was on my show this week, she was in England. And you're probably hearing this a little bit later, so it may not be this exact week's episode. But she actually reached out to me. She said, you know, I listened to your show. I was working in corporate. And she said, and I was struggling. It wasn't where I was supposed to be. And she said, I would go and I would take your podcast with me and I'd walk around and I would, you know, listen to your show. And she said, someday I'm going to be successful enough to come on and share my message on your platform. Wow. And so she left corporate, started a six-figure coaching practice, and she reached out to me and I was like, we're having you on. And so she was on my show and she was talking about how it had transformed her life just listening to the podcast. And now she was doing her own soul's work with her own soul's voice. So you never know who you're going to reach to on a podcast platform or on video that is really waiting and needing what it is that you have to share. So it's extraordinary and it doesn't take long. You know, literally with my online course, people get up within 5 weeks, they're already launched, and within 6 weeks, they're syndicated on all the major platforms. And then in the weekend that we do, it's like, you know, we basically, I have my editing team edit their stuff. We give them the equipment. We do the whole kit and caboodle and they go from, you know, idea to launch in a weekend. So it doesn't have to be that complicated. And it becomes an extraordinary asset in your business to have a media platform. Not only if you want to, say, monetize it for ad revenue, for leads, for there's so many things you can do with it for monetization purposes, but in terms of just having that asset as a way of connecting in with other people, having a place that you can bring and start to build partnerships and connections in your industry with other people that you bring on. Like, you know, I'm on JP's his platform today, right? And we're connecting here and he's connected in on my platform. That's so right. We've developed a relationship not only through meeting in person, but I think even more so in the time that we've had together on each other's platforms, getting the time together and dinners and other things. But yeah. But it's a way of getting to know someone in a unique way that you wouldn't normally get, like a whole, you know, 20 minutes to an hour with them talking about what's most important to them and showcasing who they are. So it's extraordinary.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that's one wonderfully said, and it's so powerful, isn't it? Because now we share this conversation with others and they likewise may be inspired. Maybe they share it with somebody else and maybe they come back and maybe they come back to us. If people wanted, this is not the usual stage, but for what you just described, if they wanted to connect with you, I guess there's a number of different ways, but describe through the media platform exercise you just described and the weekend type of work, how would they engage with you on that?
Yeah. So I actually have a website called podcastonpurpose.com where you can check out the online platform. But if you're looking, you're wanting to do a weekend workshop with me, I actually qualify everyone who comes because it's a very intimate thing to do that together. We have up to 20 people at a time and we book them together in a location because I wanted to make sure that it's convenient for people. You can just email support@deviadea.com and let us know that you're interested. And we can go ahead and connect on that as well. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing the relationships that are created through this. And like JP came on and was talking all about, you know, business growth from a legal perspective that really served my audience. And you never know like who's going to be touched by whatever's being shared too. So you can take it wherever you want.
Yeah, that's just it. You know, for listeners as well, I get right into the legalities of it. I've had probably more attorneys than any other particular expert on the show, but then I speak to somebody with you and it takes the conversation in a whole new direction. And I like to say as it washes over the listener, they can take from it in a way that might inspire them or add to what they're doing. Even if it's an interaction with one of their employees or a customer or a client after they've listened to the podcast, there's extreme value in that, I find. What are ways where you can, and again, putting back on the lawyer's hat here, from a business perspective, value add to a business, the teachings, again, we talked about the platforms and the way that it can be leveraged, but I mean, for you to work directly with the leader of an organization about how they approach their day-to-day life, what are some of the things that you could help them think about in a way that would guide them and inform their decisions as it affects an organization?
Yeah, so I have done some corporate board facilitation in the past where I've worked at the C-level with different groups that are really looking to make some shifts in the group dynamic for one thing. But also I find too that especially if you're at the CEO level specifically, it's a very lonely place to be. Yeah. And it's tough to find counsel when you're in that place, especially in like a leadership role, because you know, people I've worked with in the past are like, oh, you know, the minute I became CEO, the people that were my peer group are no longer my peer group.
Yeah.
And they're actually kind of avoiding me. They're not waiting to talk to me. They aren't wanting to have these conversations. And so literally like having a sounding board at that place is a big deal. So one of the things that I like to do is help to mine the gifts of the voices of the souls that are at the table, so to speak. So when you get a group of people together and actually start to bring out their greatness and the best of each part of the team, collectively, I think it can make a huge difference for the organization. And there's just simple things that we can do. This is a consciousness-based practice that you might not normally find in corporate, but it's pretty effective in any area of your life. I found that it's been one of the things, you know, people say to me, I don't understand, but when I meet you, I feel like I want to be the best version of myself. It's like, I feel like anything's possible. I feel so loved and accepted. And it's just a natural thing I hear all the time from people that I connect with. And it could be like a short interaction. And there's this thing that I do that I've been doing unconsciously for a long time. I call it living namaste, because if you've ever done yoga, which I know is a little outside the lawyer conversation maybe, but...
although a lot of people recommend it from a stress perspective though, right?
Okay, good.
So a lot of business owners will do it just for that reason.
It's fantastic. And actually the stress reduction too, you have better access to resourcefulness within yourself when you're in a more peaceful place. So one of the things I even do when I'm going on my podcast is I take a few deep breaths with my my interview for the day or whoever's going to be on with me, because it helps us to be more resourceful during our conversation. Well, this is something you can do anywhere. You could be at the gas station, you could be in the boardroom, you could be going on to a stage to speak on a particular topic. It doesn't matter where you are, but you can basically go in and just, you drop into your own self for a minute, take a few deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. And then when you go and meet someone, you literally, you say, the greeting namaste means, you know, the light inside of me honors the light inside of you. You could also say the greatness within me honors and bows to the greatness within you. And you could be at a gas station or you could be witnessing a group of people, like I said, and you just literally greet the other individual or the individuals from that place of the greatness inside of me honors and acknowledges the greatness inside of you. And people will show up completely differently than they would had you not taken that second. It doesn't take long to acknowledge that soul's voice within them. And people show up differently. And so just play with it as an experiment. I know it may sound a little bit out there, but it's extraordinary what it will do for your life. And you'll find that people's greatness shows up.
Are you suggesting to actually say the words then?
No, thank you for clarifying.
Okay, you're thinking.
Namaste. No. Okay. But no, I'm actually saying, when you meet someone in your own mind's eye, right, in your own inner voice, that voice that we hear where we're like, you know, usually we're sitting there in a conversation inside of our head, we're assessing or judging or like, you know, questioning, whatever. We have this internal dialogue, right? But rather than letting that run on automatic, which happens a lot, I'm saying direct it. And instead, in that inner dialogue that you have with yourself or monologue, basically say, when you greet the person, you just say to yourself quietly in your own mind, you know, the light inside of me honors the light inside of you, or the greatness within me witnesses the greatness within you. And I'm going to have a conversation with you today, like their greatness. And it's amazing who you're greeted with that you normally wouldn't get that day, right? And you show up differently.
You show up differently and you may shift them. Very powerful. I'm glad you clarified, because I imagine awkward conversations for me at the gas station later on as I fill up. Maybe also an interesting conversation, but no, you're right.
Yeah.
And as I began this talk today, to say I felt that from day one with you, and I think we took a breath on your show as well as we launched into it. You clearly sit in that place, or you rest in that place for the better part of your days. At least you seem to. I don't know what happens when you get frazzled or when you're, you know, rushing around in traffic. Do you rush around in traffic, or are you hovering above the traffic?
I don't hover above. Actually, it's funny. I used to go do a yoga practice actually on a regular basis. And I would laugh because I would be zooming in to get to yoga class. And by the time I got there, I was all stressed out. I'm like, this is useless. I shouldn't be doing this. So I do hustle around in traffic. But one of the biggest gifts that we do have is our breath. Like literally in the moment, if we want to just shift how we're sitting or how we're being or what's happening, you can literally take one breath and be in a different place. Like if you're with us right now and you've had a hurried day, just take a deep breath right here with us. If you do that two more times, I promise you'll feel completely differently than
you. All right, let's do it two more times.
Okay, and one more in and out. Feel a little different.
That's great. I feel a little different. Yeah. I can tell you that's the first time we've done that on The Millionaire's Lawyer. we're expanding boundaries today, as I say.
It's a million dollar practice.
And then it does shift though. I mean, a lot of guests speak to just that. It's the stress relief that a business owner feels as well. Obviously a lot of our conversations are with accountants, lawyers is probably who we have on more than others. In which case the conversations are usually pretty legal focused, but it's important, as you say, and I know one of your important teachings is to take time for these thoughts as well, because they're going to impact all those other areas of your life, aren't they?
They do. And you know, it's interesting because my father is an attorney. Both of my grandparents were attorneys. My uncle was the district attorney for Merced County. Like I come from attorney family, like the lawyers are all throughout my family. But one of the things my father always says, the most important thing you can bring as a lawyer into a courtroom or into a room with a client is what he calls your tone. Mm-hmm. And your tone is that energy that you bring into the room is deeply affected by the things that we're talking about. And he said, you know, a lot of times he'll have the legal pieces that he's sharing, but most of what matters is that the people trust him. Mm-hmm. And they know they can trust him because he's aligned with who he is. And he's bringing that safe energy. You know, we call it gravitas because my dad has a lot of gravitas, but he walks into a room and you know his shoulders are big enough for everyone in that room, and you know that you can trust who he is and that he has your best interest at heart. And because of that, his business is done really well. So I think, yeah, and he's made a big difference. I think those are the things that help him to win cases when he's doing that, is really he just comes from a place of that alignment. So
that's really powerful. There's very little of this type of discussion in law school, as you can imagine.
Yeah, completely.
You know, you don't get a lot of this. You do get taught that as you enter the room, you're the expert, right? You're to take command. Mm-hmm. You're expected to, and it can certainly be very assuring to clients. But the way, again, we began this conversation, if someone's just faking it or that, you know, they're not really grounded themselves, it will come through eventually. So, you know, there's a lot of people say act as if until, but I think what you're speaking to is actually becoming, right? And clearly your father demonstrates that. And you do as well. As I say, from the moment thank I you. Met you, we see that.
As do you, by the way, JP.
Thank you. Yeah. It's interesting that, you know, what we just described for your, you know, father or an attorney entering room, it's the same thing that can apply to any business owner as well, right? As they interact with, you know, with their staff, certainly with any employees, anybody that interacts with an organization. The culture, and we've spoken about culture with many of our guests, the culture that they want to foster is one that's going to permeate every aspect of the business and ultimately determine part, you know, and part of that intangible value of a business. So certainly very aware for a entrepreneur to be aware of as well, as we discussed that. And you said something else I just want to come back to, which is very, very true, again, as a lawyer, for the CEO or the head of an organization, it's interesting. It is actually a very lonely mm-hmm. position for a lot of these people. And as an attorney, some of my conversations, I mean, I'm certainly not any kind of, you know, therapist or anything to that degree. In fact, I oftentimes remind clients that I'm not, but it's pretty clear that there's an audience with me that they can ask questions that they know they can't know others. I mean, it's obviously confidential, the conversations we're having. And, it's interesting, some of the questions that I get, because I'll say to them, well, I think you need to work through those things, you know, with your therapist, but be aware of this and how it's going to impact your business. Because directly, you know, if it might, example being if there's an HR issue where somebody's got a real problem with something in the organization, the CEO can just get rid of them and they'll ask me, legally speaking, what the implications of that are, right? There may be severance or something that's required to be paid. But I'll speak to them as well about, is that the best thing? So just firing them. These are the implications of firing somebody, but is that the best thing? Are there other ways for you to resolve this? If an example like that, let's just talk about that. Just that. So firing somebody in an organization, if somebody is consulting with you, so you've got a corporate, a retainer for from the CEO of a corporation that's saying, I've got to clear out a department or, you know, a problem area. What are the ways that you would counsel them to either do that or think about doing that?
Yeah. So one of the things that I truly believe is that we all have our best answers within ourselves. And specifically, like, I'm not going to tell you what to do in corporate law or in law in general, because you're the one who's trained in that. However, I can help you access the answers that are probably best for you with the amazing database of knowledge that you have within your own self from all of the years of study that you've done. And the same is true with any client. Like, I often, I'm always like, well, I'm not a legal consultant.
Exactly.
So you have to talk to someone like JP, right? Yeah. Like, I'm always, you know, differing for those things. And I definitely don't do therapy with people. Like, I don't go back in time and deal with traumas and things that they have. Mm-hmm. Although I will deal with what's going on in current time. However, what I found is using a Socratic method, which is where you really go into inquiry, that one of the biggest gifts that we're given is powerful questions. And the more that we ask the right questions, the more that we literally query our database of wisdom that we have to give us the best solution. So typically in those types of environments, what I will do, I do have intuitive insights. I do have a lot of knowing where I will maybe even know what the right answer may be for them just because of some of my unique gifts that I have. But oftentimes I will not tell someone specifically and directly what I think they should do, because I think it's way more powerful if they come to it by themselves. So instead, what I'll do is I'll get the hit or the download of what's probably the best thing for them to do. And then through question and inquiry, I guide and direct them to finding that answer themselves. And I show up as a really powerful mirror. And then they own it congruently that it's their choice, right? And at the same time, it's based upon and fact checked upon what's the best thing for them to do that's congruent with them, right? Wow, and then if there is outside counsel or something they need, I will advise them to seek advice if there's something legal or that kind of thing, you know. But that's, I find, the best way to guide and coach someone in their life and business is to elicit the amazing and extraordinary wisdom inside of them that maybe they can't access themselves at that moment, because for whatever reason, they're not as resourceful or there's something that they're just not seeing. You know, it's like you can walk around with your hand on your face and be like, I don't understand why I can't see anything. And you don't know, but if you're looking from an outside perspective, you can see that their hand's in front of their face and you can help them to remove it so that they can then be like, oh, it's really clear, right?
That's really interesting. As we've been saying, a lot of our approaches are similar in many respects. With regards to that, mine as an attorney is a little bit different, because I always ensure that the client is making the decision. And I'm not saying you're saying something different there, but it's interesting for me. I'll present a range of options. I'll discuss the pros and cons of the different options. And then I make sure to step back and I try not to guide. In fact, our insurer, so, you know, as a professional, our insurer says, make sure you're not making that decision for them. Putting it to them in a way that they know and are aware of the range of options, then have them make that decision for themselves. It's interesting though, working with somebody with your skill set, you can assist them in actually arriving at decision. Obviously, you don't have to answer to a law society as people are making those decisions. Because sometimes people will say, "Well, hey, lawyer, tell me what to do," right? Or that's a cop out. Or I want an answer from you. And as I say, we're trained to be careful and not to actually answer that for them. Just to give them those range of options to make it very clear they are, in fact, making that decision. They have problems doing it sometimes, though. A lot of people have problems making decisions.
Yeah, I think you have to teach them. So one of the things I work with, too, is helping people to know their own intuitive guidance system, if you will, like, so that they can, like, where do you feel, if I was, you know, where do you usually know something in your body? You know, and a lot of times with CEOs, it's their gut. Like, it's a gut check, you know, and they're like, if I don't follow my gut, what happens when you don't follow your gut? Well, usually it's not too good, right? Like, so, and they justify their gut a lot of the time. So they'll know, but then they need to intellectually justify it somehow to be able to go with what's in their gut, or they go against their gut. And a lot of times they don't have a good experience of it. So I just make sure they know where that wisdom sits for them. And then I help them to use their own internal navigation system and then come up with creative solutions using inquiry. It's really naturally and intuitive to me. For some people, they're like, I don't know how you do that. I'm like, it just comes naturally. It's one of those things, right? where you witness their greatness and then you ask the questions and then you double check it against their gut. And that's usually great. Yeah.
When you say, so for the CEOs or the decisions in the gut, is that not most people? Is that unique to CEOs or is that most people?
CEOs more so, I've noticed more so in corporate that that's the, usually if I talk to someone who's more on the spiritual entrepreneur side, they may say, oh, my heart's telling me.
I see.
Or, right. Or I had this, I'm hearing this thing happening over here on this one side of my head. Like they have different places that they get intuitive, you know, gut checks, if we'll call them,
yeah.
but oh, different places. So it really depends upon who I'm talking to. So I always make sure I know what that is for them when we're working together. So I'm like, okay, so where do you make this decision? How do you know when something's right? Well, I just know. Well, how do you know? Do you feel it in your body? Do you hear something? You know, and I find out what their formula is. We all have a formula. And then what's happened in the past when you haven't listened to that? Oh, well, there was this time when, right? or this time when, or, you know, and the things usually go, what's happened when you have listened to it? So we just kind of like discover together what their system is. And then it gives you a level of certainty too in the decisions that you're making. Because one of the things in business, especially, I think you'd agree, being able to make quick decisions in a world that's constantly changing is also something that helps you with success. And so knowing what your decision-making process is that you can count on and trust is really important to be able to make those quicker decisions that may not necessarily, you haven't had the time to do the full amount of research you might want to, but you just know because your gut told you, right? And it's absolutely clear.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really important, as you say, to be able to make those decisions. The best entrepreneurs do, right?
Yes.
And they're also, they also trust that, you know, you're not going to be 100%, but it's better to make that decision, right? Act on it quickly, as opposed to not make a decision, have something fester, and then the opportunity is lost in any event. So
yeah.
Really, really powerful. I love that. I suspect a lot of the people here in their guts know this has been a great podcast. they can feel that. It certainly is. Anytime I interact with you, it certainly is, Debbie. I appreciate the time today. Can you go over again the best ways to reach you and anything else you'd like to speak to? I know that you're just launching a couple of initiatives yourself. Do you want to speak to that to a moment just as we work towards wrapping up this podcast?
Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks so much for having me. This has definitely been in my gut, in my heart. this has been a great episode as well. I just love you and what you're up to, JP. You're
thank
amazing.
You.
Yeah, so you can reach out if you want to connect with me. You can literally email my team, support@debbieadea.com. If anything here is resonating with you and you're wanting to explore like how we might work together, totally, I leave that open to you to reach out. I'd love to connect with you. And I have two shows, so you can always go to spiritualentrepreneur.com and listen to that podcast.
Yes.
I also have a podcast on purpose podcast as well, if you're interested in podcasting. And you can always check out my course at podcastonpurpose.com. Go to deviadea.com. There's so many places you can connect with me. But mostly what I just want to leave you with today is if there is something that is pushing on your heart and your soul, that has been pushing on your heart and your soul for a while, and you know what that is because you can feel it. It's either a divine discontent or it's kind of like some part of you that is speaking to you that you've been just saying, I don't have time for you, and you've been shutting it down. I just invite you to make some time with yourself this week. Put something on your calendar so that it happens, because you know we only do things that end up on our calendar. And make some time to listen and sit with yourself around that. And if there is something that's calling on you that you're really here to share, that is that voice of your soul and you're looking for support, I would love to support you in that. You can always reach out to my team via the email that I gave you. But I just invite you, there are people right now in the world that are waiting for whatever that is that you're being pushed on to share. And the time is now, it's not someday. So I just invite you to really listen to that and start to put some plans and action in place to move forward with whatever that is, because that's why you're here. So, and I honor you so much for taking that time out to listen. And I thank you so much for being here with us today.
Wow, Debbie, that's fantastic. That was out loud, by the way. Remember you were saying before, inside your head. So that last part was out loud. Honoring,
yeah, this is all out loud.
That's right. Everybody's going to hear this. And that's great. I usually end these shows with, you know, one, you know, words of advice. I don't want to come back to that, because I think you just summed it up so nicely. You're also putting some pressure on my production team to get this episode out sooner, because, you know, the 1 week that we save for this can't come soon enough for those that are listening. So we'll get it out to our listeners as soon as we possibly can. Debbie, thanks so much for being on the show today. It's always wonderful to see you. I can't wait until the next time. I look forward to it.
thank you so much, JP. Thanks for having me here. And guys, if you love what JP is doing with you, as a podcaster, I can say it makes a difference too to get that feedback. So I invite you, go out and share a 5-star review with him. You know, subscribe if you haven't so you get all these latest updates, because what he's doing is amazing, as I'm sure you will agree. And it's something that we like to hear as podcasters. So let him know how much you appreciate him.
True expert right there, right? You can see she's been through it. She's lived it. She's got a wonderful podcast herself. So Debbie, thanks again so much for today. As I say, we'll have you all on again real soon.
Thanks, JP.
Thanks for listening to The Millionaire's Lawyer. Please subscribe and rate on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. To get your business millionaire assessed and to access the wide variety of resources that we offer in addition to this podcast, go to jpmcavoy.com. That's jpmcavoy.com.